tell me kind of the I don't know, policy approach you take.
Okay. It was a policy with respect to seeking the death penalty that Ray Larson, I've been here for 28 years, so it was sort of in place when Ray started here, so that there was not an appearance that we were abusing our discretion and how we sought the death penalty or who we sought it against. Ray's policy had been we would seek it in every case where death was eligible. And we kind of carried that. Luana was attempted to come up with a policy that we would use discretion a little bit more, but we just, it hasn't fully worked out that way. So we're just still kind of, you know, seeking it in cases where it's eligible. There are exceptions. So, you know, like if the family is adamantly opposed to the death penalty, then we will take it off the table. Or one example I was using, a case that I tried last year, it was almost 8 years when we tried it. We were set to go the year before, and the defense attorney had an expert on the death penalty who was flying from California, but because of COVID, did not want to come. So she was going to file a motion to continue. So to keep from continuing the case that was, like I said, was almost 8 years old, we just took death off the table so she didn't have to worry about that expert. So, and we kept all the other, all the aggravating penalties. So there are exceptions like that sometimes that we will use, but to avoid kind of any appearance of impropriety, we will generally seek it in every case.
Mm-hmm. What are the, I think I know, but just to make sure, what are the aggravators, and have they changed over the years?
They've not really changed over the years. They are murder plus something. So it's murder. The aggravating circumstances would be in the course of a rape, in the course of a robbery, intentionally killing more than one intentionally killing more than one person, the intentional killing of a police officer in the course of his duties. I know I'm missing some. I've said it so many times, but it's that kind of a, you know, thing. Okay. I think maybe there's a first responder in there now, but there's some other aggravating circumstance that's involved.
And that really, but has that, for the last 20, 30 years, have there been more added on there? I mean, has that changed?
From what I understand, it's been about the same. So I don't ever look to see when it's changed, because, you know, normally the ones we have are murder and a robbery. We don't generally have, I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but we don't generally have murder in the course of a rape. Although I did try one, it was murder in the course of a sodomy. So generally the standard words are a murder. I've had one where it's been more than one person. So we just kind of rattle off the same ones, but I don't remember there being any added in the last, you know, little bit of past that I'm aware of.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, one of the things that comes up in this issue is the means of execution. And I'm thinking of just recently where they had, I think it was Alabama, where they had, you know, for lack of a better term, it didn't go all that well. Mm-hmm. So is that an issue, too, in terms of maybe not seeking it, but the attitude of jurors as to how it's going to be carried out?
When we talk with jurors, so if death is an option for them, and I use the word seek very loosely, what I mean by that is it just opens up an option for them. So if there's an aggravating circumstance, it just gives them the additional option to consider life without parole for 25 years, life without parole, and death. And we tell them it's an option. It's not one you have to impose. It's just adding additional options for you. When we do the individual's voir dire, because we have to ask their attitude about the death penalty, some of them are yes, some of them are, you know, if you take a life, yours deserve to be taken. Some of them are adamantly no, for a lot of times it's religious reasons or personal reasons and those types of things. Some of them will say in the most extreme circumstances, like mass murderers and, you know, killing a child, those types of things, but it's a personal feeling. Sometimes they are influenced or aware of people who are on death row, who were exonerated because of DNA or a witness that recanted or something along those lines. Those are usually the reasons that they tell us. I can't say that I personally have anybody say it doesn't take, you know, or it didn't go well. that's usually not, I'm not saying that's not an influence for them, but that's usually not what they tell us if it is. Some of the probably philosophical reasons they say no may be built into that, but that's not usually what they tell us.
And I'm trying to think myself right now, but lethal injection is the means in Kentucky, but isn't that been in the courts as well as far as challenged in the courts? As far
it has been challenged in the courts, and I think a lot of it depends on what drug they're using, you know, and whether that's humane. Sometimes it just stops the heart. Sometimes it stops the breathing. Sometimes it doesn't do anything. You still feel the pain. So I think that has been the challenge is how you're doing it. And I'm not sure there's ever been in Kentucky, it's not quite settled. You know, so again, we haven't executed anybody in a long time. So
yeah.
I think there's still a lot of things floating in the air on that.
Right. Well, do you know, again, when the last death penalty was handed down in Fayette County?
I am aware and stuck. I didn't try one, so let me back up. Ray tried one, so it would have been probably, I don't know, maybe 15 years ago maybe. Ordway that we tried, and when Ray tried it was a death penalty. The jury imposed death. He killed two people, his two partners in crime, and the death. But there were some errors in the trial, so on appeal it came back, and so then I retried it with him. Death was an option. I didn't ask for it. Death was an option, and they gave him life without for 25 for each victim that he did. And I think that has been resolved. Otherwise, before that, it has been, well, that was considerably longer. We were still in the old courthouse. So one of them, for example, is Virginia Cottle and Jonathan Goforth. And the victim in that case, Lynette White, they went to her house, they robbed her. They got her, put her in the trunk of a car, set the car on fire. They got death penalty on that, but it's still pending. I mean, it got through appeals, but then I think there's some federal appeals that are happening now. So the original prosecutor on that case tried the thing, deal with all the appeals, retired from this office, came back, and he's still handling the case, you know? And so they're not resolved, but I mean, 20 plus years later, we're still, you know, dealing with that case. So those are my most two. I mean, I know of some others, but those are the two most recent ones I know, where death was on one, it got reversed, and the other one is still having to deal with all the appeals.
Well, and that you know, gets to the question of the cost of trying a case on death and the appeals and can be drawn out. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I mean, do you think that's a factor? Is there this consideration of abolishment then?
Yes, because it always comes up in terms of the cost of it. And somebody asked me not too long about, you know, how much does it cost to try a death penalty case? And I said, well, I don't know how to answer that question because, like, for the Commonwealth, there's no additional cost. So we don't generally pay for experts. I mean, you know, we deal with the police officers. We deal with the state lab. We, you know, those types of things. So there's really not an additional cost. You know, we don't get paid additionally for a death penalty case or anything like that, whether it's 1 week or 6 weeks or whatever. So there's not probably truly an additional cost to the Commonwealth, which would also include the courts. Now, sometimes if we go late, the clerks have to be paid overtime, I think, but I don't know the answer to that. Maybe comp time. But it's not an exorbitant amount. You know, the judges honestly are not getting paid more. The expense comes on the defense side. So when the defense hires experts, so either to challenge something of the Commonwealth's, you know, evidence, whether that's a lab person, whether it's a mental health person, whether it's a death penalty expert, you know, those types of things. So, and those funds are requested specifically to the court, ex parte. So we don't always know, you know, what they've done or how much they've paid because they may not always use that person. So the expense is really probably going to come from the defense side for those experts to defend the case. And then, you know, you have to pay the jurors a whole whopping $12.50 a day mm-hmm. for the 6 weeks that they're there, right. You know, so... You know, I don't know if trying it is more expensive. There's appeals that are involved. I don't think DPA gets paid any additional more. Department of Public Advocacy gets paid additionally for all of the appeals. They just don't go away. So, you know, they're exhausting all the state appeals and then the federal appeals. So I don't know if there's an additional cost just sitting on death row, you know, versus you give them life without parole. They're just, they're in there. So, you know, there's that's just, you're housing them. So I don't know if there's an additional cost depending on what, you know, floor you're on. Yeah.
Well, another issue that is discussed with death penalty topic is deterrence or not. You know, so do you feel the death penalty is a deterrent for some people?
No, because I think at this point, I think generally people recognize, one, you're not going to get it. I'm going to qualify this answer by saying Fayette County. but generally, I don't think people think that jurors are going to give it to them. And number two, you may get death, but, you know, 20 years later, you still haven't been executed. So, you know, it's probably stressful, but I don't think it's, I don't think anybody thinks, let me not kill this person in the course of, because I'm going to get the death penalty. Mm-hmm. I don't think that that's something that is a deterrent or a consideration.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think are the chances that the legislature will abolish the death penalty, say, in the next 5 years?
I think it's getting there. I really do. We, like I said, we smaller counties, I think different counties, the feel is different. So like the issues we have in Lexington are probably not the issues they have in Powell County or the issues they have in Nicholas County, you know, or the issues they have in some of these other counties. And so I think that, that your community kind of decides how you're going to handle certain things. And so the fact that we haven't had one, you know, a conviction and a death case in so long, I think it just kind of has naturally abolished itself, maybe. Mm-hmm. And maybe we just haven't had that kind of case yet to kind of stir people's opinions back about it, you know. Because I think if someone intentionally killed a child, that might start some people back to saying, okay, you know, maybe we need to relook at this. I think if somebody in Louisville, if the, had not killed himself but went into the bank and killed all those people, you know, luckily we don't have that generally here. But maybe that would stir people back up to say, okay, maybe this is a scenario when we need to. Or intentionally killing a police officer. We've seen those scenarios here, but either the person has died or there's been, you know, some other circumstance. But we've got one now that's in Scott County where the guy killed the trooper. That may very well be one where Scott County says, you know, because he killed the trooper and then went to, I keep calling him a trooper, the deputy sheriff, mm-hmm. but then went to the other victim's home and took their van by gunpoint and then came up to Lexington and took their, you know, my victim's Jeep by gunpoint and shot him. That may be one where the community says, okay, you need to go. But if he doesn't have a, you know, a major record, they're going to think, well, maybe rehabbed. So I know that was a long way to say, you know, we haven't had that case yet where we've got the public saying, okay, this is one. But we've just, in a sense, as it is, kind of already outlawed it because we just don't get them.
Mm-hmm. And I guess finally, has, I mean, you're in the prosecution business, mm-hmm. but has your attitude changed over the years as far as the death penalty?
As a prosecutor? As a prosecutor, probably yes. And I'm not sure I thought much about the death penalty when I first started. You know, from experience, you know, you start out new, you just want to make sure you follow the law. My job is to enforce the law. And so that's kind of the thought I went into it. But over time, now, like I said, I'm 28 years in here. Over time, it probably has changed a little bit coming from, and I kind of written my pros and cons on here. So on the pro side, there are some people who commit violent offenses that and have a violent record that you're thinking, yeah, you just need to go out of here. you know, that this is probably appropriate for you in terms of a prosecution kind of a standpoint. The con side, however, is they don't go away. You know, like I was telling you one about Goforth and Cottle, you know, that case is over 20 years old and we are still dealing with it. Still, you know, there's so many, there's appeals and appeal on appeal, and then there's ineffective assistance of counsel, and then there's just because it's cruel, you know, motions and let me try them again. And then you go on to dealing with federal stuff. It just doesn't end. And I don't want to have to keep calling these victims 20 years later saying, I know you don't remember me, or I know you thought this was done, however. It just doesn't end. So from that standpoint, you know, I give it as an option for the jury, but I'm not sure I've ever said impose this, you know, just because I know. And the scrutiny, I'm not saying, I mean, we do everything that we can. We're very liberal on objection. You know, it's just because we don't want to get reversed. But I know those cases are very highly scrutinized and should when death is a, you know, is an option. But that also means it doesn't go away. You know, it just kind of keeps going. So costly, like I said, it's more time consuming for our end than costly, because not only you're at a minimum, depending on what your case is like and how many defendants, you're at a minimum of maybe 3 to 4 weeks. I think the longest one I tried was 6, and that wore me out. So it's just long and it's tiring. That's just the trial, let alone the trial prep. And when you've got 200 other cases you're dealing with, you know, you have to kind of put all those aside and just work. So it's, I don't know, it's tiring to know that, for that, just to know that it's still going to come back. So, yeah, my attitude definitely has changed over time. And I know that some, you know, and nowadays we've got all these advances in DNA, all the advances in the ability to look at electronic data and you know, all types of things now that we did not have years ago. You know, something simple. When I started this office, we didn't even have internet, you know, we didn't have voicemail, we had beepers, we didn't have cell phones. So the things that we have now that were not available back then, and so, you know, I don't know if that would change anything of anybody on death row, but maybe, you know. And so, yeah, I've probably changed my mind a little bit as a prosecutor on death penalty. But at the end of the day, I'm still going to, if it's an option, then that's the option. You know, I can't let necessarily personal feelings into it, but that's my job, is to enforce.